Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus chapter number 15. And this will make sense when it's all said and done, and we'll understand why I'm doing it this way. So it's a running joke around here. And some of y'all get in on it. Some of y'all have heard the choir, and you maybe you don't understand what it is. But let's talk about my favorite song. Come on, how many of y'all know that? Right? It's this running joke. And I guess it's my fault because I say this is my favorite song. And this is one of my favorite songs or whatever. And anyhow, so when they were putting all this together, Miranda comes to me and she says, "Hey, preacher, what's your favorite song?" And I was like, "Is this a trick question? I mean, what, you know, because if you know, I really don't have just one particular favorite song." But anyhow, she said, "Preacher, we need three songs that are your favorite." So I gave those three songs. And of course, Jake, as rebellious as he is, didn't sing one of them, but he's going to tonight. And amen. All right. And then, but the other songs were sang, and according to Miranda, Jake had picked out the songs that I would pick as my favorite songs, my three favorite. So anyhow, this thing got me just thinking. I mean, it wasn't nothing, but it just got me thinking about songs. It got me thinking this mindset of the song. And I get to Exodus chapter number 15. How many of y'all know what's going on in Exodus chapter number 15? All right. This is a song of Moses and the children of Israel. All right. But I want us to look at three things about this song. And it's going to be a lot of subpoints in some of these. But I want us to look at just three things about this song. And I want to say this, and I want to challenge us in this. If you know the setting, that's the first point, by the way, is the setting of the song. If we go back into Exodus chapter number 12, we find the Passover. Of course, we can go all the way back in the beginning of Exodus, and we can start going through Exodus. Man, my favorite book. One of my favorites. All right. But anyhow, I'm just kidding. So we go through the book of Exodus, and we start off in the children of Israel are in bondage, been in bondage for 400 years, all right? They're finally, their cry is heard by God, which, by the way, God had prophesied the 400 years of them being in bondage, and God also prophesied, or is told, of their deliverance after 400 years. And so Exodus, of course, is the exit out of bondage, all right? That's what Exodus is, okay? So we learn in the first few chapters that they need a deliverer, and God provides a deliverer, all right? And we learn about Moses. We learn about Moses from a baby right on up, and then we learn about Moses trying to do things his way, Moses killing a man with his bare hands and burying him in the sand. Moses was a bad dude. I need somebody to help me, all right? And Moses kills a man with his bare hands, runs off, and Moses is on the backside of the desert for 40 years. By the time Moses comes back into his own and into his purpose for God, he's quite the old man. But God still uses him to deliver the children of Israel. We go through all the plagues, the 10 plagues, which was basically a contest. It was God. Pharaoh asked, "Who is this God that I should let you go?" And so God took that personal. Somebody say amen. God said, "I'll show you exactly who I am." And so 10 plagues came on the Egyptians. Some of those plagues affected the children of Israel, but at a point, God stopped the plagues on both, and it was just plagues on the Egyptians. We come to the 10th plague, and of course we know it is the death of the firstborn, but it is also a beautiful picture of the Passover lamb for you and I, which is Jesus Christ. He is the Passover Lamb. So not only is Exodus showing us historically the deliverance of the children of Israel, but it is also prophesying of a lamb that would die for or have to be killed. And by the way, Exodus chapter number 12 goes right along with the life of Jesus Christ as this lamb was killed before all the people in the evening, just as Jesus died in the evening as the Passover lamb for all of mankind. Chapter number 12, when it's done, Pharaoh says, get everybody and get out. God, hey, listen, that same plague, let me say this before I move on. That same plague in the 10th plague that affected the Egyptians also affected Israel. Had they not done what God told them to do by killing the lamb and by placing the blood on the doorpost, their firstborn would have died as well. On the same note, if the Egyptians had done what was instructed, their firstborn wouldn't have died. All right? The point is this, is that the only way to salvation is through the lamb. I mean, y'all got it. All right, now let me move on. So we move on into chapter number 14. Chapter number 14 comes around, and the children of Israel are now leaving out of Egypt. They're heading to the promised land, a land that God had given them, the land of Canaan. And they're headed to that land, and God purposely takes them on a detour. He takes them through the wilderness, and he brings them between two mountains, and he brings them to the shores of the Red Sea. And in chapter number 14, God sets out the plan. God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to harden the heart of Pharaoh so that he will come after you. And by the time this night is over with, I will completely deliver you from your enemies. But even with God proclaiming what he was going to do, the children of Israel still went to murmuring. Can I get a witness? I need somebody to help me, man. I was looking through Exodus today at all the times the children of Israel murmured, and I'll just be honest with you, man. I think that we murmur more than we sing. I'll just move them back. I'll go back to something else. But anyhow, here they are murmuring and saying, hey, you should have left us in Egypt. We would have served. We would have done this. Why have you brought us out here that we can be slaughtered? And the Bible says that Moses went to God and said, and this is what God said, why are you crying to me? Now listen, I don't know how what y'all think, but I'm thinking Moses got in on the whining too. God said, why cries thou after me? Go out there and lift your rod up and part the sea. I need somebody to say amen. So in chapter number 14, we have the parting of the Red Sea. The Bible tells us that the Israelites went across, and as they went across, God moved between them and the Egyptians, and there was a cloud of darkness over the Egyptians, and there was a pillar of light that shone in the darkness for the Israelites, and they crossed through the Red Sea with a wall of water on their right side and a wall of water on their left. The Bible says that the Egyptians, I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me right here. Why would you go into that as the Egyptian? I'm just to be honest with you. Maybe it's self-preservation, but I'm like, nah, Pharaoh, this ain't happening. I mean, right? God parts the waters, and you're like, oh, are we going to go kill the people that God parted the waters for? No. I'm like, I'm going back to the house. I got a wife and some kids and hopefully some hamburger helper. Amen. We're not doing this. But yet they followed them in. The Bible says that they got in there. The Bible said this, that all of Pharaoh's horses, all of his horses went in after the children of Israel. His chariots went in after the children of Israel. The Bible says that they got to a point in the Red Sea where God made those chariots, whether he took the wheels off or whether they bogged down in mud, I don't know. I will say this, children of Israel walked over on dry land, but at some point the chariots got heavy. And the Egyptians were like, oops. Go read your Bible. They were like, the Lord's working for them. We might have made a mistake. Yes, you did. The Bible says that the waters returned and killed all of the Egyptians, all that came after the children of Israel. The Lord won, had a great victory in chapter number 14. Moses and the Israelites come out on the other side of the Red Sea. And by tradition, not by scripture, but by tradition, Moses broke out in a song of victory. And the Bible says that Moses and the Israelites, or the children of Israel, sang this song in chapter number 15. Let me read it. It says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. I want you to know, notice who they sang it to. To the Lord. Is everybody all right? The Bible says, and spake saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? My Bible's sticking together. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee, to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Man, what a song. If Moses broke out in song spontaneously, I'm going to tell you, that was a lot to remember for everybody that was singing with him. Can I get a witness? But what I do know is that not only did Moses get involved in this singing, but in the next verse, old Miriam did. The Bible says in verse number 20, and Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Good Lord, that dancing in the Bible will get you in trouble. Somebody help me. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. But what I want us to see was there was a song. Here's the thought tonight. We get so impatient. We get so wrapped up in everything that's going on that we miss out sometimes on the song. See, the fact is that we go from one deliverance right into the next day's trouble. Come on, help me now. Without the song. I think too many people are so focused on what's fixing to come that we miss out on praising God for what he's done. Are you hearing me? Hey, listen here. The children of Israel, they had problems after the Red Sea. Matter of fact, I mean, if you go read about the children of Israel, right here before the end of this chapter, before the end of the song, they're saying, man, why don't you just leave us in Egypt? This water's bitter. It'd have been better if we'd have just stayed there. And God showed Moses a tree. Next thing you know, they're murmuring, oh, I'm hungry. We had plenty of food, bread to eat back in Egypt. God gives them manna. Oh, we had meat. Bread ain't good enough. God gives them quail. Is everybody all right? Amalekites come against them, God delivers them. Next thing you know, they whining again because ain't no water. God says, Moses, strike the rock and you'll have water. We go from one issue to the next without stopping to praise God in the middle of it. Stay with me. Stay with me. When we see this is the setting of this song. The setting of the song is a great deliverance by God from a problem that seemed to be impossible. How many of you has had something in your life that you faced that looked impossible? Come on, I need somebody to help me. How many times? It's been more than once for a lot of us. How many times have we looked at a situation and said, God, we can't. God, I can't. God, this is impossible. If you don't step up, God, this is over with. Only to have God show up, do something great, and just as soon as we're delivered from it, we say, but God, there's something else. God, there's something else. God, what are we going to do? What do you mean, what are we going to do? Look at what he just did. If he did what he just did, he can do what he needs to do. So why is it that we go from one problem to the next without stopping and saying, hey, God, you are God. Amen. You gave the victory. You gave the triumph. You get all the glory. It was your victory. And we'll sing about it. We're going to praise you just for a little bit about it before the next problem comes. Can I get a witness right here? We need to learn to sing before we get into trouble. Too many of us is, well, what about this? We got, and our government, our world today keeps us scared about the next event. 2020 come, COVID showed up, and all of a sudden everybody went into a panic. Our government told us how bad it was. Everybody was going to die. We got an idiot up there in office right now who I pray for, not probably like you pray for him, but I pray for him. And we got an idiot, a complete moron up there telling us that this is going to be the winter of death. And people are lined up for 5 miles over there trying to get tested just to see if they got COVID. Let me go ahead and help you. They're not worried about getting COVID. They're worried about going to work tomorrow. And they need that COVID test to stay positive so they don't have to go to work because our government will hand them some money. Is everybody all right? Got our doctor telling us that this thing ain't much stronger than a head cold. Said of the thousands of people that's tested, not one has spent the night in a hospital. But yet, if you look out there, it looks like death and doom all over the place. What is it? It's going from one problem, right, keeping you in a crisis. And as long as Satan can keep you in a crisis, he keeps you doubting what God can do. This government, this country, the people of this country is doing, and let me just go ahead and say this, Pharaoh is keeping us in a crisis. And Christians won't stop long enough to say, hey God, you brought us through 2020. Y'all do realize we're in 2022. I need somebody to help me. Y'all do realize we made it through 2020 when we were told we wasn't going to make it. Half the country was going to die. Everybody was going to die. Everybody, hey, we made it. 2021 came around. You better be careful. Wear your mask or it's going to do this. We made it.
That's right. Amen.
Y'all got to help me now. And now in 2022, what's the big scare? Oh, it's coming back. We're going to make it. Y'all stay with me. What's your song? What's the song? Y'all help me. Church, what's the song? What's the song that we're going to sing to our children? What's the song that we're going to sing to our grandchildren? They're going to let them know about crisis. What are we going to do? Are y'all with me? Have I lost anybody? There was trouble. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be things that are going to be impossible that we're going to face again and again and again. But where's the song? Where's the song? The setting of the song was a great victory, and God has given us some great victory. So where's the song? Where's the song? We come into church and we sit on our hands and we sit out here like, oh, everything's falling apart. Where's the song? Hey, we act just like the children of Israel. God delivers us and we murmur. Well, I don't know if I can make it to church because of that COVID strand. Where's the song? Stay with me. This song, I noticed not only the setting of the song, but I noticed the scope of the song. It was a song of reverence. Check out verse number 2. At verse number 2, listen to what they say. The Bible says, let me go back to verse number 1. It says, they sang this song unto the Lord and said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God. Listen, and I will exalt him. You know what this song is about? God. Everything about this song is about what God has done. And they reverence God for who he was. It was a song of reverence. What's your song? What's your favorite song? Everybody all right? All right, can you just pick one? I can't just pick one. Why? Because God's done some great things in my, I need somebody to help me. Hey, God's done some great things in my life and I just ain't got one song. I can sing about how God's delivered me here. I can sing about how God showed me amazing grace. I can sing about this grace. I can sing about big enough. I can sing about there was Jesus. I can sing about thank you, Jesus, for the blood. I can sing about Psalm 23. Why? Because every time God has showed up in my life, God has done a work and there's a song for it. But the devil's got us focused on the next crisis. The devil's got us worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. It was a song of reverence. It was a song of deliverance. How many of you have been delivered? I imagine I'll just go ahead and say most of the people that are sitting in this church tonight claim to be saved. So every one of us should have a song of deliverance. What's your song? What is your song? Somebody help me. What's your song? Mine, man, I like to hear old Jackson get up there and sing Rescue Story. That's my song. Everybody all right? I like it. Well, why we got to sing it? Because it's my song. It's my song. And if it ain't your song, then maybe you need to get saved tonight instead of murmuring about what we're singing. It was a song of reverence. It was a song of deliverance. It was a song of remembrance. Verses number 6 all the way through verse number 10. If you'll go and look, everything that God did was in the past tense. Everybody, y'all stay with me. Every bit of it. God, you've done this. God, I'm talking about... hath dashed in pieces. Everybody seeing that? In the greatness of thy name, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. It's constantly, we're talking about the past. You gathered together the waters. He says the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Verse number 9. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide, and my lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. They're remembering what the Egyptians were saying. Verse number 10. And thou didst blow with thy wind the sea, covered them, past tense. They sank, past tense. Does everybody see what I'm saying? It is a song not only of reverence, it's not only a song of deliverance, but it is a song of remembrance. God help us to never forget how God has delivered us, how God has brought us through to this point. What's your song? What's your song? What's your song tonight? Well, I just don't have one song. Preacher, I what's your favorite song? I just don't have one song. Why? Because God's done some great things in my life over and over again. I faced the Red Sea and seen God deliver. I have faced bitter waters and seen God deliver. I have faced hunger and seen God deliver. I have faced a dry land with no water and seen God deliver. I have faced the enemies and watched God crush them. Can't put one song on that. Is everybody all right? It was a song of remembrance. It was a song of performance. I liked it because everything about this song, everything that was done here didn't have nothing to do with the Israelites. It wasn't about what they did. It was about what he did. Man, I tell you what, y'all got to help me. We live in a day and time and most Christians are so focused on themselves. They're so selfish, so self-centered. It's all about them. I got so frustrated with preachers on social media after the dogs won, everybody celebrating. And here's what all the preachers had to say. Well, I sure wish people would come to church and celebrate Jesus like they celebrate the dog. Well, I wish you'd spend some time in study and bring a sermon that didn't put them to sleep. Bring a sermon that gets somebody excited about serving Jesus. Get something. Hey, if your church ain't excited about Jesus, then it's the preacher's fault. I'm all right. Song of performance. Ain't about what I did. It's about what he did. Lastly, a song of dependence. Verse 16 through 18, they said this. They said, fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatest of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. I'm about done. We see the setting of a song. We see the scope of the song. But lastly, I want you to see the significance of the song. This was the first song recorded in your Bible. Is everybody all right? This is the first song recorded in your Bible. And it is the last song mentioned in your Bible. Huh? But preacher, what about all them Psalms? What about the Song of Solomon? What about the Lamentations? What about, preacher, what about all these songs in the Bible? How about the song where David danced? Preacher, don't we remember? Don't you remember that song? Surely, surely this ain't the last song that's mentioned. But in Revelation chapter number 15, in verse number 1, I'm going to get you to put it up there because I didn't walk down Miss Jenny without my glasses and I'll be struggling to see that, all right? I need one of them giant print Bibles that are, but y'all pray for me. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. We're at the end. Y'all ready? Here we go. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Two elements that we've seen in Exodus chapter number 15. There was a sea. There was fire, the pillar of fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. In other words, those that got victory were standing on the other side with the harps. I'm just guessing that if they had harps, Miss Melissa, there was going to be a song. And verse number 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. Exodus 15. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang a song. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Can I stop right here? Hey, I don't care what you think about Exodus 15. Apparently Jesus likes it. Because Jesus, hey, is everybody all right? I don't know how you interpret this, but this is what I interpret it, all right? Hey, we're singing the song of Moses, the favorite song of the Lamb. Saying, great and marvelous are thy works. Sound familiar? Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Go to verse number 4 and 5. Who shall not fear thee? Who shall not fear thee? Can y'all hear this? Remember he asked, who's greater than thee? Remember? Who shall not fear thee, O Lord? With them rhetorical questions about God. And glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Listen, the first song, the significance, it was a first song recorded in your Bible. And God liked it so much, it was the last one mentioned in the Bible. Over 200 songs in between them. But there was something about that song. Y'all stay with me. There was something about that song that God really liked. There was something about that song that those who were redeemed, those who were purchased, those who were delivered, those who seen victory, there was something about that song that Jesus said, I sure do like that song. I like hearing that song so much that that song, hey, listen here, don't miss this. It was not only sang on the sea, on the shore of the Red Sea, but it was sang in heaven. And that song was called the Lamb Song, the Song of the Lamb. Stay with me. What's your song? Say, preacher, I don't have a song. I'm glad you said that, because Psalm chapter number 40, Miss Jenny, if you can, I'm going to read the first three verses of Psalm chapter number 40. If you're saved in this building, you got a song. According to scripture, if you're saved in this building, you have a song. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. What's that song? Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Amen. What's your song? Listen, stay with me. What's your song? Somebody needs to hear it. Why? Because your song, many shall see it. And fear. And shall trust in the Lord. Say, preacher, I just don't know if my song can do that. Everybody all right? Y'all with me still? All right. Let me get over here. Joshua chapter number 2, verses 10 and 11. I ain't going to try to read it out of that. Joshua chapter number 2, verse number 10 and verse number 11. Say, preacher, I just don't know if my song will be heard. I just don't know if my song will help anybody. Bible says, Rahab. Everybody all right? Rahab in the land of Canaan, hiding the spies. A woman, by the way, that's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. She told them spies, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. When ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Because of you. Listen. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. What's your song? Stay with me. We go from crisis to crisis without a song. And somebody needs to hear your song. There's a Rahab that needs to hear your song. There's some people in Lowndes County that needs to hear our song. Say, preacher, what is our song? I can't just pick one. I just can't pick one. God's done so many things for me. I can't just pick one. But what I do know is that I need to sing my song. Because if I, listen, this world, all they hear is crisis to crisis. You know what this world needs to hear? There's a God. Y'all got to help me, y'all. Y'all got to help me. We too busy running from crisis to crisis. We need to stop and sing a song. Why? Because somebody needs to hear the song. Somebody needs to know that there's a God who will deliver them. There's a God who is their strength. There's a God who will save them. But if we keep the song to ourselves, then you and I are of no good. Listen, God liked the song so much. He said at the end of it all, we're going to sing that one again, Moses. But this time we're going to do it in heaven. Next time we're going to do it up here in heaven. I like it so much. I think we've missed out. Be careful how I say this, but I think we missed out on how much God wants our praise. Satan, old Pharaoh, he's got us running crisis to crisis without a song. They're going to sing. Did I mention? Then they're going to sing, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Then they're going to sing Big Enough. What's your song? Whatever your song is tonight, sing it. Let your children know. Let your children know. Let your grandchildren know what God's done for you. Sing your song. He's put a new song. He put my feet on a solid rock, established my going, and hath put a new song. What's your song? You listen. Come sing that song. Did I mention? Hey, have you mentioned? What's your song? Somebody needs to hear it. Come sing. Come praise Him. Right here. Find a place at our altar. Hey, listen. The song was sung unto the Lord. But yet, many heard about it. Come sing your song to the Lord. I was introduced to that song by the Perrys. The Perrys have come and they have sang here at this church. They have come and sang this song here at this church. The writer of that song is Miss Kyla Rowland. Miss Kyla Rowland passed away today. Stay with me. It was her song. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he ever made? Hey, what's your song? Her song's being sung all across the country probably tonight in honor of her life and a song that God gave her. Victories that he'd won in her life, the faithfulness he had shown in her life. She said, I love him. That's all I want to say. Ooh, hello. Hello, what's your song? Somebody needs to hear it. How many people have been blessed? How many church services right here? How many people has heard our choir sing that song? We started singing that song when I got here 10 years ago. We were singing that song over there. How many hundreds of people, thousands, whatever, have heard it just right here? It was her song. Amen. Here's another one of my favorites. Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. I appreciate the hymn, Amazing Grace. I really do. I love it. I love the story behind it. Are they something about this song that just gets me thankful tonight? My chains are gone. You listen as they sing.
Saved a wretch like me.
That's my song. Hey, how many of you testify? That's your song. That's my song. That's my song. And this is one of my favorites. We're going to sing big enough. Because many of you got your mind on what God did. And it doesn't translate in your life to what God can do. We look at God delivering the children of Israel through the Red Sea. And we see it as an impossible feat. But yet we see something in our life. Come on, y'all. It ain't near as big as the Red Sea. And yet, well, I don't know if God can do this. We read about God delivering Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of a fiery furnace, and things get hot in our life, and oh, I don't know if God can do it. We read about the storms getting rough on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus walking on the water. They're like, it's rough around my house, being tossed to and fro. I don't know if I can make it. Because we're so focused on what God did, we don't, what he did do, that we don't realize what he can do. That faith as a mustard seed can move a mountain. And yet, we can't find just that much faith. Why? We spend too much time reading about God's deliverance and not realizing that it translates into our own lives. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God's big enough. If God doesn't change, according to his word, he doesn't change. According to his word, Jesus same yesterday, today, forever. According to the word of God, God, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. If God did all that for them, he can do all that for you. Stop focusing on the crisis. Look at what God is doing in your life. You listen, last song, last chance for some of you to stand up. You're cold. You're cold because you ain't worshiping. Just throw that out there. I'm telling you, y'all don't get mad at me right here for saying this, but too many of us, right now, you're thinking, I'm going to sing my song. I'm going to tell somebody about it, but I'm just not going to do it here. Hey, I could be here till 9 o'clock, but I'm going to let you out, all right? We, right now, you're thinking, man, God is working, and you're like, you know what? He's right. I need to sing a song. I need to let them know. I need to let people know about what God's done in my life. You're thinking that right now. You are. But yet you're sitting in church with an opportunity to do it and say, I'm not going to do it here. Stay with me. If you won't do it here, I can assure you, you won't do it out there. So how do we fix that, preacher? We got to get real comfortable doing it here. And real used to doing it here, so that out there it's just second nature. Stay with me. Why is it that we get in amongst a bunch of people that went through the same problems that we do, have the same God that we do, have the same deliverance as we do, and all of a sudden worry about whether or not they're going to judge us for worshiping what he did for us? If you got a problem with Christians looking at you, you ain't gonna never do it out there on the job. You ain't never gonna do it in your family. So right now, God's working. You gonna sing your song? If you won't sing your song in here, I can promise you, you won't sing it out there. So if you got the song, sing it. If you got the song, sing it. Say, preacher, I just don't know what you're trying to say. I'm trying to say, give God glory. That's all Moses did. He just praised him. Say, how do you praise him? The Lord, he is my God. He has become my salvation. He had to live. Is it that hard? Is it so hard to come up with a song? I mean, I don't know who was playing the guitar on that, but they were having a hard time with Moses. He wasn't rhyming anything. I need somebody to help me. Moses just going off and everybody's like, oh, this is the song. Sing the song with Moses. God is good. Hallelujah. God delivered us. He is my salvation. He's our strength. Amen. You know the words of this song? Nope, just follow Moses. What was he doing? Just praising him. What's your song? What's your song? My goodness. Every song that's sung up here ought to be your song. You listen. They sing big enough.
Yeah.
song. That's my favorite song. Along with my other favorite song. And that other favorite song. Oh, we're in a mess we're in. Because Christians don't have a song. God instructed the children of Israel. At your table, you teach your children about Exodus chapter number 12. You teach your children about Exodus chapter number 14 when we cross the Red Sea. God said, don't let them forget it. You know what we've done? We've forgotten it. Now, there is some salvation stories, Exodus chapter number 12, sitting right here in this building. There is some Exodus chapter number 14, Red Sea crossings, sitting right here in this building. There's some children sitting right here in this building. Some children over yonder. They need to know how big God is in your life. There's a coworker out there that needs to know how big God is. Family member that needs to know how big God is. But how are they going to hear it? Well, I can't get them to come to church. Sing your song. They won't come to church with me. Well, then sing your song. Hey, I need somebody to help me right here. Take church to them. Sing your song. Why? Because God said they'll hear it. And their hearts will melt. And Rahab said, man, when we heard about what God did for y'all, our hearts did y'all catch that? Did you catch in Exodus 15 where it said that the people of Canaan are here and their hearts are melt? And then Rahab said, when we heard, our hearts did melt. Amen. Good Lord, we need to sing our song. We need to sing our song. Quit telling your kids, you did this. Quit telling your kids, you did that. Quit telling your kids, I got a better job and this happened. Here's what we tell our kids. God did it. Hey, you want your kids to be in church when they grow up? Start giving all the glory to God. And they'll hear it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Not mama and daddy. Hallelujah. I had fun at church tonight. That's my song. You don't know what my song was? That's my song. And if you'll come back Sunday, we'll sing some more of my songs. And is everybody all right? If you come back next Wednesday night, we might sing the same songs, but we'll sing my songs. And then the next Sunday, we'll sing my songs. Jake told me, listen, nothing on Jake. No, I'm not getting on to Jake right here because it was funny. But Jake said, preacher, we just sang that song not long ago. How many people in here, your favorite song, you only listen to it once every 3 weeks? I need somebody to help me. We put that baby on repeat. We listen to that song over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because it's your favorite song. We need some Christians to put their song on repeat. Get out there in the world and say, God is good! All the time. Everybody all right? Thank y'all for coming to church tonight. Be careful getting out of here. I will see y'all Sunday. And I'll let y'all hear my song.